So good morning, everybody. Thank y'all for inviting me back. I got a lot of notes and books. I got a newer Bible I'm trying to work out of or study out of now. My other one is falling all apart. I got a little backpack I carry around with all the time, and the pages is all messed up. But I don't want to do a thing with it. I want to get it fixed because it's got so much ink and highlighting and all that going on in there. I get to reading a section of the Bible and I see where I put a note or a mark in there somewhere, and God will just kind of reveal something back to me. But I'm standing here this morning under heavy conviction. The summer's been real busy, just going on vacations and work, life, I think, has just gotten in my way. So the word that has been resonating back with me over and over the past 2 or 3 weeks is consistent. And I actually got to looking and trying to read up and study on how to stay, I wouldn't say stay young, but stay in shape. As I age, I'm 44 years old this year, so. And I've always tried to take care of my body, eat good food, exercise, and do stuff like that. And I kept getting this word consistent that, you know, nothing's going to ever, you're not going to ever see any progress if you don't stay consistent in what you do. Like, you won't see any change in the way you feel, the way you think, the way you act, as far as exercise or fitness, unless you stay consistent doing what you do. Like, I just started this thing about 3 or 4 weeks ago about I got to drink apple cider vinegar, honey, lemon. It's a little concoction that I've been drinking for years. I used to have bad allergies when I was younger, and I never could take any kind of allergy medicine. So I read up one time about vinegar and honey and lemon and stuff like that. It's good for your allergies. And when I started drinking that stuff, my allergies started bother me less and less. So I've been doing that a long time. But now I started adding cayenne pepper and turmeric powder to my little drink. So it's a crazy concoction, but I think it does work. It keeps my gut, I think it keeps our guts in health and check. But the word consistent has just been constantly coming to my mind. And I got to thinking, you know, I'm focusing on being consistent with taking care of my body and living longer and staying healthy. But how am I applying that to my walk with the Lord? And I got thinking about Moses, and you know, I thought Moses was a prime example of what consistency looks like, because he kept going back to Pharaoh over and over and over. You know, I think it was like 10 times he would go back to Pharaoh pleading for the people to be released. And then God led me to the book of Daniel. And I know a lot of people think, when you think about the book of Daniel, think about Daniel in the lion's den. But Daniel is another prime example of what it's like a man, a follower of the Lord, to be consistent. And consistent, steadfast, abide, you stay the same. You know, and I think as followers of Christ, we got to be consistent with our walk with the Lord. That's kind of where I'm trying to drive this thing home. We can't be wavered by the world. We can't be wavered by the culture. We can't be wavered by what's going on with social media, Facebook, or anything. We got to be consistent in what God tells us to do, and we got to be consistent in our relationship, our time, our prayer life, and all that. If we are, I believe God will honor and bless that. There'll be fruit from it, even in times and difficulty and where things seem like it's all a train wreck. We just got to be steadfast and consistent and just stay plugged into the Lord. Before I dive off into the book, I want to open us up with a word of prayer. Father God, Lord Jesus, God, just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. And God, I'm going to stand up here and probably cry again today. And Father, Lord, forgive me for being weak. God, I'm crushed. Lord, I am convicted, Lord, that I have not been consistent. Lord, just spending enough time with you. Father, I read through the book of Daniel. And God, I see, God, how he was consistent. And God, he had resolve. God, he was steadfast and God, just living his life out for you, God, just obeying your commandments. And God, most of all, just living it out. So, Father, the word, God, that you give me is consistent. Lord, just help me, Father, relay this message today, God, through your word. God, I pray, Father, for the hearts to receive it well, as I have, God. It's set me back. God, it's like the prayer this morning over, God, your blood and your skin, Father God, as you died for us on the cross, Father. Regain focus, God. I want to regain my focus, and I want to be more consistent, God, with following you. God, I want to be more consistent with living a life, God, that's worthy, like Daniel did. I want to be consistent in front of my wife. Lord, I want to be consistent in front of my children, God. I want to be a man, God, that when people see me, God, they know that it's you living through me. Lord, I pray, Father God, for anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to be in this building today. And God, I thank you for, God, even when I'm not faithful, God, you are. Lord, when I'm weak, God, you're strong. God, when I'm complacent, God, you're right there beside me the whole time. God, you never left. God, you're always right beside me. And God, I thank you for that. And God, thank you for, God, convicting me. God, when I'm slipping away, God, thank you for bringing me back to a place where I realize, God, who you are and what you're doing. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Whew. I apologize for crying. It just gets me sometimes like that. I'm just broken. I was kept telling my boys this morning, Cole come in there, he said, Daddy, he said, you study, you read, and he said, you're all right? I was like, yeah, I'm all right. He said, something's wrong? I said, no, I'm just standing under conviction of the Lord. And I didn't get a chance to really explain it to him, but this whole thing with being consistent has got me in a, I just had to regain my focus. Not anything bad we've been doing. It's and that's how it happens. It's not like I've been doing anything bad. It's just I've been getting caught up, just going and doing my time with the Lord. I get up in the morning, I got a little devotion that I do. Sometimes it's 5 minutes, sometimes it's 10 minutes, and when I got to reading in the book of Daniel, it just really convicted me. Like Daniel, he spent time with the Lord. He was steadfast. King Nebuchadnezzar, when they brought him out of when they brought him as slaves, there was a part in here that got me. Like he was gonna bring them in, and he was gonna teach them for like 3 years the ways of the Chaldeans. I think I'm not a theologian, so y'all forgive me if I say something that's out of place. But Daniel never wavered. He stayed the same, even with all the temptations that was in front of him, the drinks and the food and all this education and wisdom. The magician and the sorcery that was he was able to learn so much. I think about what's going on in the world today. We're so enticed to pick up our phones and the computers. We got everything at our fingertips. We can gain all this knowledge and wisdom, but if we're not spending time with our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Bible, we're just gaining things of the world. We're letting our eyes and our hearts be filled by the culture and not by God. So I'm going to try to go through the book of Daniel here. I just got some stuff that I wrote down that God was really speaking to me. Right here in Daniel chapter 1, right here off the start in verse 3, it says, then the king commanded, I may butcher some of these words, so again, y'all forgive me, please, Ephanezeth, his chief Enoch, to bring some of the people of Israel, both of the royal family and of nobility. And right off the bat, when I saw this, I was like, already I think Daniel's being recognized for a man of integrity and nobility, without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace. Already I get this feeling like Daniel's already a man of integrity. He's kind of, they've been kind of hand chosen to come with Nebuchadnezzar. Right here it says, competent to stand in the king's palace and to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. So King Nebuchadnezzar is trying to get these guys, these people up, and he's trying to, I get this from what I gather, that he's trying to persuade them and teach them to follow his ruling, to worship him and his gods. The king assigned them a daily portion of food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. They were to be educated for 3 years, and to end of that time they were to stand before the king. And among these, in verse 6, says, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, the tribe of Judah. The chief of the Enochs gave them names. He thought they changed their names. Daniel, he called, I can't even say that. But right here is where it gets good to me. In verse 8, it says, but Daniel is resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And I see what I got out of it is where Daniel is standing firm, but he's not boastful. He's not prideful. It's all out of humility and his obedience to the Lord. Resolve means, I got some definitions here. Resolve means to decide firmly on a course or action or a firm determination. Like Daniel was not going to be wavered by all these things that King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to entice him with and persuade him. Man, think about what's going on. How easy are we persuaded to follow the cultures and the ways of the world? Or do we stand firm and steadfast on what the Lord's telling us and the Bible's telling us to do? And I wrote down this here with consistent, unchanging in nature, acting the same way over a period of time. What happens as Christians when we don't act the same way? We come to church on Sunday mornings, but in Monday through Friday, we live in the world and we change and we blend in whatever's going on in the world. And it's one of the things that really got me stirred up over the past few weeks is we go on vacation and I see family members and I know it in my heart. I don't know in my mind, but my heart is telling me there's lost people all around me. My family members, my wife's family members, I just see it in the way, I see it in their fruit. I see it in the way they talk, you know, and I don't know their heart, but I can judge by the fruit. But I just see the lostness in the world around us. And the world around us is seeking Christians and followers of Jesus to be consistent with our walk with the Lord. And that kind of, thinking back with the last time I was here when I was talking about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think back, man, if we're getting filled each and every day, we're spending time with the Lord through reading His Word and praying and having that relationship with God, it's just going to be our character and our nature of who we are out in the world is going to look different. We're not going to look the same. People's going to see us. I picture Daniel. They traveled all this long distance, and you got all these people, and then you got all the pressure of this unruly king who, if you don't do what he says, he's going to chop your head up or chop into pieces. And then Daniel just kind of, I picture Daniel just standing firm amongst all this, and when he's offered all these temptations, he stands firm on what the Lord's told him to do. He's determined. He ain't wavered. It's just a mind and a heart alignment that this is what I am. This is who I'm going to be to death. Nothing's going to change me. I wrote down, it's a Jewish law forbids Daniel to eat unclean. That's back in Leviticus chapter 11. Accepting the food from the king could possibly mean Daniel depending on favor and the gifts from other God. And you think about, I think about food, you know, God said everything good, now God blessed everything, but it's just the little things. It's the little things that we allow to come into our mind, our eyes, our heart that will lead us into temptation, will lead us out and away from where God wants us to be. And if we give in fully to that, we're giving all in to sin. We're blending in back with the world. It's a slippery slope. It don't happen. I don't think it happens in a moment. It just happens a little bit at a time. I watched a guy sermon the other day, and he had a big old heavy, almost like a logging chain. He was carrying a logging chain around, and he says, Satan's not gonna come up to you and say, here, I'm gonna put this chain all over you. I'm gonna hook you. And I'm gonna pull you back down. And I'm gonna lock you to this, I'm gonna lock you to that. It's one link at a time. He pulled out a link out of his pocket. He said, it's one link at a time. And that's what Satan does. He gives us one link at a time. And before we know it, we got chains and cables and hooks that's pulling us down, pulling us away from God. But we gotta stand firm, we gotta stand fast. And going back to Daniel on this, we gotta be consistent. We gotta be unchanging in our nature. Act the same and doing the same thing over time. Steady, stable. Man, I hadn't been steady. I hadn't been stable lately. I've been all over the place. My time with the Lord's just been, I just get it when I get it over here and I get it over there. And I just hadn't felt that replenishing. When I got to reading through the book of Daniel yesterday and last night, I couldn't put it down. And it felt so good again to be back in a place where God's word was just, I was just getting so much stuff out of it. It was like, oh God, thank you, Jesus, for bringing me back into the right presence with you, Father. I was just so thankful for that. I like in Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52, when Jesus was only 12 years old. And he said, I'm about my Father's business. You know, his mom and daddy left, and he was there by himself, and they come back to check on him, and he was dedicated. He was steadfast. He was firm. He was abiding. He was staying where God wanted him to stay. He was about his Father's business. This thing slipping off my ears. I wrote this down too, because this is me. A lot of times we fight for routine. We fight for routine at our job. We fight for routine with getting the kids at bed at night. Well, we used to. We've been slipping at that lately. But trying to get the kids in bed at 9 o'clock at a decent time during the night. We fight for routine to have supper done at a certain time. We fight for routine to make sure we get a shower before we eat supper or bed. We fight for routine to meet on Wednesday nights as a small group, which is a good thing. For me, I fight for a routine and being consistent with Tuesday nights volunteer firefighter. I do that on the side too. And then Saturday mornings, if we ain't off on a vacation or somewhere in the mountains, we fight for routine to get up. We got to make sure the yard is cut and grass to maintain, the bushes look good, the cars has been washed and cleaned on the inside, take the trash out. Routine. we fight for the routine to tend the garden, which we have been failing on that. We ain't been tending the garden good. It's got weeds all in it. Feed the chickens. That's something every afternoon I go over there and feed the chickens. I know I gotta feed them. So it's a routine. It's consistency. I'm trying to fight for routine. I'm trying to build another barn. So I'm always, you know, that's something in my mind that I got a routine. I'm always thinking about it is where I'm trying to go with this thing. This is stuff that's constantly. It's being consistently in my mind. If it's not coming to church on Sunday, it's when we're gonna go for the next vacation. We routine this, we routine that. Church routine, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. You know, everything's a routine, consistency. All this stuff is good stuff. I fight for routine to go to work every morning at 8 o'clock. I gotta be at work at 8 o'clock every day. You know, everything that we know is a routine, we do it and we don't think about it. But how often are we fighting for the routine and the consistency with spending time? When I say time, I don't mean just flipping through a Bible and reading a verse or two, but spending quality time in the Bible, letting God speak to us through His Word. And I got to thinking, you know, that through all this conviction I've had, you know, I hadn't been as faithful. I hadn't been consistent with spending really good quality time with the Lord. You know, it's a good attribute. Wrote this down. It's a good attribute that He is not like me. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going to flip to it right quick. This new Bible, like I got. Yep, it's in here. I know it's in here. 2 Timothy. All right. Okay, 17, I'm sorry, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read out of a little bit before, right here, verse 12, it says, the saying is trustworthy, for if, there's one of those, I like to call them clause words, or what, it's a hinge point, if we have died with Him, we also live with Him, if we endure, and I circled endure because that means it's not like a flash of a microwave moment. It's you hanging in there through the tough times. We were talking about that outside earlier. You know, I heard somebody say about keeping the doors open on the church. Hang in there. Endure. You know, Paul tells Timothy it's not a sprint. It's a long race. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. if we deny him, he will also deny us. And then the verse that really got me is, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Even though I hadn't been consistent as I should have, he has. That's what we were doing the Lord's Supper, and you were talking about regaining focus. I was like, man, that's where I'm at right now in my walk with the Lord. I'm regaining my focus, and I'm so thankful for that. But we got to constantly be in that fight to regain focus each and every day. What's the Bible tell us? We die to ourselves daily. Die to ourselves daily. Die to ourselves daily. Get up in the morning. Be intentional. Well, that's a word Jeremy uses a lot. Being intentional. But it really is kind of like this being consistent thing. Being intentional means you're making it. You're making a habit, and you're being intentional and being consistent with spending time with the Lord. And when that happens, it changes us. There's just no way that you can just spend time in the Word each and every day with an open heart, ready to receive, and you not be changed by the power of God and the Holy Spirit. It just ain't going to happen. I got way off from Daniel, I'm sorry. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with wine that he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him to not to defile himself. And I like how he said, he asked him, like he was not being boastful and prideful. This is all coming out of humility, but he was unwavering. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief eunuchs. Like God blessed that. Daniel was being faithful, and God blessed that. God gave him favor. And I got to thinking down here too, verse 10 says, and the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink. Why should he see that you are in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? And this is where Daniel was going to eat the vegetables and the fruit, where everybody else is getting all the barbecue, the fried chicken, and all that good stuff, and the wine. But Daniel was staying his resolve, and he was consistent in eating and being pure and undefiled. And I got to thinking, like, man, the pressure that I would have faced if I'd have been in Daniel's shoes, knowing what kind of a king Nebuchadnezzar was, that if I choose not to follow his commands and his rule, it was a chance of immediate death. I mean, and he was just unwavering. And verse 12 says, test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. I know everybody knows about the Daniel's fast and what he done. But it says, test your servants for 10 days. Faith. I thought about Daniel's faith. Man, he had to have crazy faith just to be able to stand out there and do this amongst all this pressure that the king's putting on him. And then down here in verse 14, said he listened to them in this matter, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter. Most of the time, if you eat fruits and vegetables for 10 days, you lose weight. It might be fat weight, but you lose weight. But it says, they were fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. Like, I see this as God's honoring Daniel's faithfulness. God's honoring Daniel's resolve and him being consistent and honoring God and putting God first. Verse 17, it says, as for the four youths, God gave them, and I circled God, God gave them learning. They didn't acquire it in their own. God gave them learning and skill in all the literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and strength. Visions and dreams. Nebuchadnezzar was trying to put them in this school, if you want to call it a school, whatever he was trying to do. He was trying to educate them under his authority and his reign. God gave Daniel and the other ones wisdom. Surpassed the rest of them. In verse 19, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them none was found like Daniel. Like, there through Daniel's being consistent, steadfast, resolved, and abiding in the Lord, God gave him favor. God blessed him. And amongst of all this going on, he had favor. In verse 20 it says, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better. There goes the number 10. I love how the Bible, the numbers all kind of come hand in hand. 10 days of fasting, and he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enhanced and enchanters that were all in his kingdom. Like, here again, it's just a testimony that through through a person's faithfulness, through Daniel's faithfulness and his consistency and honoring God, he was blessed. And I started, as the chapter in the book goes on, it's like Nebuchadnezzar is really hard-headed. Like he's prideful, boastful, but through all seeing Daniel and the other guy's faithfulness, I think it starts changing him. God starts working in his heart. And I think about that in my own life. Like, if I would just stay faithful and be consistent with my walk with the Lord and deny myself each day and spend more time with the Lord and be changed by the working of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, what will it affect other people around me? They will see the difference in my life. They'll know something's going on. And you know, like I said earlier, like, the world is seeking realness. The world is seeking truth from the people in the church. That's what God's called us to do. Be consistent. We got to be consistent. If we're not consistent, we're just hypocrites. If I come in church on Sunday morning and I stand up here and I'm giving a message, then Monday morning I'm cussing my wife out or acting crazy or even getting in road rage. Somebody was talking about road rage the other day, and I was like, man, that is getting to be a growing... You see more and more people get more violent with road rage. Instead of just pulling over and talking with somebody, now they shoot somebody or just get out there and beat the windshield. I saw one guy, he just beat the windshield on a car. But the uncontrollableness that we see in our society and culture now is because of the lack of God and the lack of realness in people. A lack of people in the church. A lack of the church being real in the world, if that makes better sense. I'm gonna skip on around in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar's dream in verse 12 in this section. It says, because the king was angry and very furious, commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed. And they sought Daniel and his companion to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men. Like, I underline that because Daniel replied with prudence and discretion. Like, he was still, I just kept, you know, he could have just argued it. He could have blurted out, I got the wisdom, I got the power. But Daniel stayed humble. He gave God, the Lord, the glory the whole time. Every time something, God showed him favor, he always put the spotlight back on God. Excuse me. God reveals Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Down here in verse 18, it said, then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed. Seek mercy. Like every time Daniel's faced with a challenge, he goes right back to God every time. Through prayer, seeking mercy. I think one section here talks about he was praying three times a day and they walked in on him praying three times a day. But how often do we, as Christians, when something happens, we try to go our way. We try to make our decisions. We try to decide things for ourselves. And we don't seek God's will first. We don't go to God in prayer first. And Daniel tells him, he said, seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery. So that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Man, you got that bottle of water over there, man. My mouth's getting dry. I'm sorry, y'all. I try to talk too fast. Excuse me. Okay, in verse 24. It says, therefore Daniel went into Arioch, from whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me, I circle this, bring me in before the king, and I will show the king the interpretation. And this is about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And there again, Daniel's putting himself in a vulnerable position in front of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. And that really spoke to me, like, God, we got to be vulnerable, guys. We got to be willing to stand out in front of the crowd and honor the Lord in our lifestyle. I think it was 2016 or 2017, we had some bad fires in South Georgia. It was called the West Men's Fire. In Florida, I had a bunch of fires that I had just became, I had just became a supervisor over the two counties, and my boss said, you about ready to take a strike team of dozers to Florida and go down there in Naples. It was Naples, Florida, but real south in the Florida down there next to the Everglades. And I've been on fires. I've been the tractor operator many, many times, and it's different when you're putting the fire out and you're trying to test somebody to put the fire out. But anyway, it was the first time I had ever been the leader of a group of guys on a fire assignment. And one of the guys, he was the lead tractor operator. He was actually up for retirement a few years. He just wanted to go drive the tractor one last time before he retired. So he, in my mind, he had way more wisdom and knowledge, and I had a lot of respect for this guy. We get down to the central part of Florida, and the fire activity is kind of slow. So they moved us down to Naples, and you know, you figure out real quick when you get away from the house, people are different. People talk different. People act different. And I noticed time we got into Naples, our division supervisor, he was a young guy. He was real boastful and proudful. I guess he made it to the top quick kind of guy. And we were sitting up under a pavilion one day for initial attack, waiting on a fire to break out. And one of this guy's friends came up with two or three kids. And he had a foul mouth, my division supervisor. Division super is over like a whole section of a wildfire. And keep in mind, this is around the time God really started dealing with me and really started changing me and just excited to be used by God. And I knew something was going to wind up happening. I just had this feeling in my gut and my heart that I was going to have to be confrontational. Because my convictions, like Daniel, my convictions were almost consuming me. I couldn't be still. Well, this particular day, this guy was talking, and this is all men standing around a pavilion out in the middle of nowhere waiting on a fire to break out, and you could just kind of imagine some of the stuff gets said. But his friend brings his children up there, and this is Division Soup's friend's children. It's two or three little girls and a boy, I think. And he just gets to really talking bad. And it got really uncomfortable, if I can put it that way. It was like God was just telling me, he said, out of all these people out here, you say you follow me. What are you going to do? And I was just fidgeting and moving around. I'd get up, I walk to the truck, get me something to drink, I'd eat something, but he just kept on and kept on and kept on, and it got to be one word and another word, and I just kept thinking about those kids. Not alone my convictions of just having a foul mouth, but I got to talk about it. I said, how can you talk like that in front of children? And I held it so long that I blurted. I said, you gotta stop talking like that. I can't stand to hear it. And I said, you don't need to talk like that in front of those kids. And everybody that was sitting under this pavilion, I think there was like 15 or 20 people out there, just looked at me like I had dropped a piece of dynamite out there in this place. But it had gotten to the point inside of me I couldn't hold it in anymore. I was like, somebody, and I was hoping this older guy that was on my team would have said something, because he's older and he's got more wisdom and knowledge and they'll listen to him. He didn't say anything. It was on me. But I'm the Christian. I had to say something. God wouldn't let me sit on it no more. You know, and the crazy thing about the whole situation, I felt in that moment like a complete idiot, because I just made everything awkward. Well, the next day, one of the guys that was on my strike team, he came up to me. We were riding to go get gas and truck. He said, I'm glad you said something, because I was tired of hearing what that guy had to say. It gives me chills now thinking about it. But that was the guy, that was Brian, that was the church we went and spoke to. I can't remember, Rochelle, Georgia. But he sat in the truck with me the next day. He's like, Rick, he said, I was thinking it, but I didn't want to say it. And I was like, I couldn't hold it in no more. And it ain't like I said anything. I said, you just got to stop talking like that, man. You got a filthy mouth, especially in front of kids. And it was just my convictions coming out in me, but I just wanted to share that with you, that I wish I could have, you know, it was all a God moment, I know that, but it was just one of the moments where I finally gave in to the Holy Spirit, the will of God, convicting my heart to say something to this man, rebuke him, and through my obedience, the next day, the guy responded to me and thanked me for saying something, and we wind up going to that church and speaking and sharing our testimony about what God's done in our life a month or two later. And I know that's full circle to the book of Daniel, but that was just a moment that I think back. You know, Daniel was steadfast and Daniel was consistent. And that day, I finally allowed God to use me and be obedient. And maybe that guy, I don't know where he's at now, but maybe God's dealing with him. Maybe God changed him. But the guy, Brian, that was in the truck with me the next day, I know God spoke through him. And God spoke to the other two guys on my strike team, and they, you know, as the time went on, they all come up to me and thanked me for saying something. But I was one of the youngest guys out there. I was like, man, but it's uncomfortable at times. It's uncomfortable. God's got me in places. He's put me in some places. I'm uncomfortable right now standing in here. If y'all want to know the truth, I'm just trying to be obedient. That's what I'm trying to do. But I know with my whole heartly, when we're faithful, we're obedient. And we listen to God, we spend time with the Lord, He'll bless it. He'll bless it. If one person receives something or gets something out of it, it's worth it. I received it when I was reading through this, and it's changed me. So thank you, Lord. Verse 30, it says, but as for me, I'm jumping all over the place, y'all had to get me. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom. This is Daniel talking here. In verse 30, it says, but as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have. Daniel's putting the spotlight back on God. He's not taking it for himself, but in order that the interpretation may be known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. Like Daniel, I like how Daniel just put it all back on God. Like he gave God the glory. You know, and it's so easy for us. It would be really easy for Daniel had took that because of what he'd done and interpreted this vision and to put a spotlight back on him and went right to the top. But every time, everything that happened in this book that with Daniel, he put the focus back on God, not on himself. In verse 46, Daniel's promoted. The king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and paid homage to Daniel and commanded that an offering and incense be offered up to him. See, King Nebuchadnezzar was not honoring God. He was trying to put the focus on Daniel. And Daniel was constantly trying to put the focus back on God. And that's so relative to how it is in our world today. Some of these, you know, God can get to using a man or woman in the ministry, and it is so easy for the big churches to explode and mega churches of thousands of hundreds of millions of, or thousands, hundreds of thousands of people coming in there, and it turns into a me-centered, a pastor-centered church, and he's taking all the glory and not giving the glory back to God. It's all about Jesus Christ. It ain't all about the man standing up here. It's all about Christ. Over here in chapter 3, verse 5, says, this is talking about Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. It says, you are to fall down and to worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast to a burning fiery furnace. And I just keep thinking about each time through this book where Daniel is faced with opportunity to choose either way, to either choose what King Nebuchadnezzar is telling him to do, his commandments, or to stay steadfast and stay consistent and follow the Lord. And the next section, verse 8, I'm sorry, I'm running behind. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward maliciously accused. Here is a man who's trying to honor God. He's honoring God. He's doing all these things. And there's always going to be somebody that's trying to accuse you of something wrong. There's always going to be that one person when you're standing in the crowd and you're trying to honor God that's going to maliciously try to accuse you and twist things up. We've got to stand firm. We've got to stand fast. Verse 11 says, whoever does not fall and worship shall be cast to a burning furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They did not serve your guards or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, and he got in a furious rage. This is all about pride. This is about King Nebuchadnezzar being boastful. He got upset. He got mad. These guys ain't wanting to follow me. They're following their own God. And he challenges. He asks them what's going on. I want to get to the... Let's see. Verse 17, he said, "This be so your God whom we serve is able to deliver you from the burning fire furnace. He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods." He's called it. He said, "Look, I don't care what you do. You can heat the furnace up seven times hotter. You can do this here, but we're going to serve God." And I'm going to jump past another section. I know it's getting past 12. Verse 21. "Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics." This is right here where he's about to throw them in his furnace. "These men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning, fiery furnace." Man, I got to think about hell. That's a burning, fiery furnace. Seven times hotter. Crank, you know, that heat, that fire never gets turned down. "Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace overheated the flame." This was something that I've read this before, but I didn't catch this before. "The furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took them up there." The men that took them up there to put them in the furnace were killed because the flames were so hot. And I was like, man, that's a testimony right there that the fire was real. "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace." And I know y'all know the story. They were thrown in there, but they never did even smell like smoke. We had a fire, Friday afternoon, Scarborough Baptist Church, and right down the road from where I work. Matter of fact, when my pager went off, they said, "Group, we need y'all to respond to a fire at Scarborough." They didn't say church on the first page, but they said that area, and I know there was only a few houses in there, so I threw all my gear in my work truck because I got a tank in the back, and I hauled tail down there, and I got down there, and I was the first one on scene. And we fought, and Lord, thank you. The sanctuary didn't burn. It was just the back corner of the social hall. But I still smell like smoke. Like, I done took three or four baths since then, but I still smell like smoke. They didn't smell like smoke. They were thrown in a fiery furnace that he had turned up seven times hotter. The men who led them in there died because of the heat off those flames, and they didn't even smell like smoke when they come out. And I got to thinking, I said, man, I didn't stand in the fire. I just went in and tried to put it out, and I still smell like smoke. And I just, you know, all this I'm trying to sum up is just being consistent. This is all I'm trying to sum this up, just being consistent with the Lord, being consistent with spending time with God, being consistent with following Christ, and just allow His Word, allow everything, spending time with prayer, allow that to change you from the inside out. One more thing I just wanted to read right quick. It's a little book I got. A church friend gave it to me. It's 52 Hebrew words every Christian should know. And probably not going to say this word right, but the word's called shikan, to dwell. Does anybody know that word? Shikan? Hebrew word? Maybe. I'm gonna read it anyway. It's good. "The Temple Mount in Jerusalem is known for the location of the Dome of the Rock. This is the place where, in the time of Jesus, the Holy of Holies was located. This was the place inside the temple where God manifested His presence on earth. For Jewish believers, this is the place where God met with man. It's the place where God meet with man. We can meet with God anywhere. This is where the divine stepped into His creation, where once a year on the Day of Atonement, God met face to face with man. This is a place where God dwelled, Shekinah, to dwell. Through the Hebrew Bible, God says to His people that He would dwell with them in the Holy of Holies. The Hebrew word we translate as dwell is Shekinah, which means to inhabit, but also to settle down. Settle down, to permanently reside somewhere, to abide, to stay, to be consistent, to stay in that same nature, to walk that same way all the time. So when John, one of the first followers of Jesus, wrote to Jesus, made His dwelling among us. He made His dwelling among us. John 1, verse 14. It means that God came to us personally in Jesus. Thank you, God. No longer was He confined to a temple, but God came and lived and walked with us personally. Ain't y'all thankful for that? We can have Him anywhere we want. We can go and pick up. He's with us all the time. To everyone who believes in Jesus, God has given the gift of His Holy Spirit to live in us and be with us always. To all who believe in Jesus as God's Son for the forgiveness of their sins, they become the place where God dwells in us. As theologian N.T. Wright puts in his simple Christian book, people who follow, and there's a word, follow. It's not just sitting, it's moving. There's a follow, there's an action, something's always happening, you know? Every time I move off this thing, I lose my place. People who follow Jesus are individually and corporately places where heaven and earth meet. Did you catch that? You are the place where God lives. We are the place that God lives. He lives in us. The people who come into contact with you will be able to experience God because God has chosen to fill you with the Holy Spirit. I think back what I was saying last time I was here. Like, God, if you receive Him, He fills you with the Holy Spirit. And when He fills you with the Holy Spirit, you can't get enough of it. Like, there's just not an end to it. You're always growing and learning and wanting more. That's how it should be, right? We're never okay with just where we are. We always got to be moving and growing and reading and evangelizing and praising and singing. It's just a never-ending thing. We got to be consistent with that. I'm trying to bring that word back out. Consistent and following Christ and stay the course, endure the race, abide in Christ, and He will abide in you. That's what the Bible says. So my challenge, the challenge I challenged myself with, I didn't want to say it. I don't want to say it in front of her this morning, but because it's so easy to slip. It's so easy to be complacent. It's so easy to just, I didn't have time this morning. I'll read it tomorrow. I didn't spend any time with the Lord today. It's okay. I had this to do and that to do and this to do. It ain't okay, because one day leads into 2 days, 2 days leads into 3 days, and next thing you know, a week's went by or 2 weeks went by. Then church kind of just gets like, I'm not going to go this Sunday. I'll go next Sunday. And it just gets worse and worse and worse. And then the next thing you know, you're out there in La La Land. You're open for Satan to just tear you all to pieces. That's what a lion does. A lion don't attack in the herd. He waits till one gets out away from the herd, and he attacks individually. So I just challenge you to be consistent with the Lord, be consistent with spending time with Him, and be consistent with following Christ. I challenge you with that today, and I'll close in prayer. Father God, thank you for Your Word. Lord, forgive me for being so all over the place. God, I know I try to talk too fast, so Father, I pray, God, that Word was received. God, I thank You for Your Word. God, I thank You for Your Spirit. God, I thank You for this church, for just allow me to stand up here, God, and just a bum and idiot sometimes, God. And Lord, just thank You for these people. God, thank You for the ones who serve in this church. God, I thank You for the ones who are back there with the kids now. God, I thank You for those children. God, and I think back, God, to that day, God, where up under that pavilion in South Florida, God, and I think about consistency, God. Lord, help us all be consistent with living our lives out for You in front of our kids, Lord. And God, I just give You all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.